Now turn to our scripture readings for this morning. You'll find the first one in the Old Testament and in the book of Psalms, the psalm that we've been studying over the last 6 weeks. We hope to conclude our series in Psalm 23 this morning. So we'll read Psalm 23 just now, and then when we're finished reading Psalm 23, we'll turn to the New Testament and the Gospel according to John. We'll read some verses from chapter 14. Well, let us hear God's word in Psalm 23. The Lord, the shepherd of his people, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us turn then to the Gospel according to John, and the 14th chapter of John, and we'll read the opening 6 verses. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Jesus is speaking here to the disciples who are troubled after he's told them that he's going to be leaving them. And so he says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen. May God bless those readings from his word. Well, congregation, if you turn in your Bibles to the psalm that we just sung, Psalm 23, and as we say, we're finishing off our series on Psalm 23 this morning. I trust it's been as beneficial to you as it has been to me in preparing messages and studying this beautiful psalm. But we finish off this morning then looking at verse 6 of this psalm. And so we'll read that just now, where David says with confidence, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the name Dwight Lyman Moody, or D.L. Moody, as he was better known. Well, D.L. Moody was a noted evangelist of the 19th century, and he was approached on one occasion by a woman who needed counseling, because two men, she claimed, were constantly following her. And she said that whenever she left her home in the morning and stepped onto the city tram, that they stepped on behind her. And then when she would step off the tram again, they would step off as well. And then with a nervous twitch in her neck, she looked at Moody, and she insisted that these two men had even followed her into his office. Very quickly, Moody could easily detect that this poor woman was suffering from a mental delusion. There was no one following her. It was all in her imagination. But to put her at ease, he told her, he said, Those two men following you, he said, are David's men. Their names are Goodness and Mercy. And he turned in his Bible to verse 6 of Psalm 23, and he showed her, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And when she saw that, the woman was relieved, and she exclaimed with joy. She said, well, that's wonderful. I've always wondered what their names were. Well, that woman left D.L. Moody's office that day with peace of mind, comforted to know that it was goodness and mercy that were following her. Well, as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I are called to trust that the goodness and mercy of God are following our every step. And we ought to be similarly confident and comforted in life, especially in a time of uncertainty, such as we're experiencing at the present. We should be confident in the belief that every day of our lives, these two friends of David, they are with us for every step of life's journey. And there will never be a day then, whether it be a good day or a bad day, which the goodness of the and mercy of the Lord will not be nearby. For they will be our constant and faithful companions throughout all of life, if we are in Christ, until we do finally take our leave of this world. And they follow us into our eternal home, where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this morning, as we do conclude our short series of sermons on Psalm 23, I want to look at our Good Shepherd as our guiding shepherd. For he is the one who will safely guide us to our eternal home. And I want to look firstly then at the two companions who are always present with us in this life as he goes before us to lead us and guide us. And then secondly, I want to consider the glorious destination beyond this life that our guiding shepherd and these two constant companions will bring us safely to. Well, firstly then, let us look at the two companions who are always present with us in this life as our Good Shepherd goes before us to lead and guide us. And David describes them for us here as goodness and mercy. And he says they will surely follow the people of God all the days of their life. And is that not what we've already seen? Surely we've seen at least that much as we've been studying this glorious psalm together, that there is such a close and an intimate relationship between the Good Shepherd and the sheep, that an unbreakable bond unites them together. And so they ought to have the assurance that nothing can or ever will be able to separate them from one another. For no matter how dark the valleys, or however deep the canyons in life may be, that we are called to pass through at times, this is the one irrevocable, non-negotiable fact that they can rest upon with absolute assurance at all times, that the Good Shepherd loves his sheep, and so he is always going before them. And his goodness and his mercy are constantly following along behind them to preserve them and keep them to the very end. And that's the beautiful picture that David is painting here. He's taking these two wonderful attributes of our Good Shepherd and he's likening them to two heavenly escorts or bodyguards that will pursue the child of God all through life till he does bring them safely home to their eternal rest. But you see, David knows, having been a shepherd, that on their way home to the sheepfold at the end of the day, the sheep are especially vulnerable to attack from a wolf or some other predator that has been stalking the returning flock. And it's just hoping that a young or an injured sheep might drift from the from the flock might lag behind, or one of the other sheep might stray and become easy prey. And you see, therefore, the shepherd's assistants or his dogs, they will follow along behind the flock to ensure their safety, to keep them from wandering off until they finally make it home to their resting place. That's why an old shepherd back in the Highlands of Scotland, when he was asked what he thought of when thinking about goodness and mercy, he said, "I think of the fellows taking the sheep home, walking down the road with their sticks. The sheep are coming behind them, and behind the sheep," he said, are the two dogs. One is called goodness and the other is called mercy." And he said, "You watch those sheep, and being what they are, when the shepherd's back is turned, they'll try to sneak off the road. And you see a sheep on one side, and off it goes, trying to get back to the green pastures or the mountains. And without even whistling," he said, "the shepherd whistling," he said, "what happens? Goodness runs out and circles the sheep and turns it back into the flock and into the path of the shepherd. And then a little further along the road," he said, "another one will do the same, or two or three will do it. And there you will see mercy running out and turning the sheep back too." And is that not a very true picture, a beautiful illustration of the goodness and mercy of our guiding shepherd? For so often we are prone to wander, to stray from the path we should be following in. And yet on these occasions, His goodness and His mercy, they're always there, actively pursuing us, surrounding us on every side, to hem us in, to steer us in the right direction, to bring us back to our shepherd when we do stray. And they are there to constantly spur us on too when perhaps we're growing weary in well-doing. We're ready to quit at times. So they are to keep prodding us on, to keep us going in the direction we should. Because you see, these two components of the divine love of our good shepherd, that's what they're testifying to. His steadfast, His loyal, His unfailing, total commitment to His people, and how He deals with them in their journey through life. And you see, because He is the good shepherd, in His goodness then, He will meet and supply their every need. And He will deal with us in compassion and in love, not as we deserve. And in His mercy, He will pardon our transgressions, forgive our every fault when we do go astray and wander out of the way. And how we need these two constant companions in life then. My dear friend, if it wasn't for the goodness and mercy of our good shepherd and His constant, steadfast, unwavering, loving kindness toward us, then we could never have any measure of confidence that we would ever make it in life. For if He was to deal with us as we deserve, you and I would be utterly without hope in this life. We would be of all men, as the psalmist says somewhere else, of all men most miserable. Because you see, the Lord would be quite justified in simply leaving us to our own devices, allowing us to drift along through life with no regard whatever for our safety or for our needs. And yet time and time again, child of God, have you not proved in your experience the truthfulness of these words? That goodness and mercy have been your constant companions throughout all of life. The Lord has never once dealt with you or I as we deserve, not even once, because He is the Good Shepherd. And you see, He cannot deny Himself. For as God is, so God does. And that means He will always act in a manner consistent with His nature. And you see, that's what's so wonderful about the Lord. It's in His very nature to be merciful and forgiving, because He is good. And even when we are so faithless and unbelieving then, and we turn away from following after the Lord and backslide, nevertheless, He remains faithful to us. Because you see, He has bound Himself to us with the cords of a love that knows no bounds. And what a wonder that ought to be to you and I, child of God. For often, my friend, have you strayed or tried to stray from your good shepherd from the time that He brought you into His flock? And how often have you thought that He would deal severely with you, condemn you for doing so? And yet it wasn't the judgment you were expecting, the correction you deserved, that brought you back from your wanderings. It was the goodness of the Lord. And how often has it been the case that when you expected, perhaps, the Lord would cast you off altogether? How often has He not reached out the arms of His mercy to draw you back to Himself? And yes, we may deserve nothing in this life or in the life to come but the wrath and the curse of God. And you see, that's what's so wonderful about our Good Shepherd. Daily, He loads us with His benefits, and His mercies, they're renewed every morning. Why? Because goodness and mercy shall surely follow the people of God all the days of their life. And wherever you go, child of God, and no matter what may happen in your life, never forget that. Or even though you may be pursued by enemies that are intent on your ruin, they will never let up in their pursuit of you. They'll hound you all the days of your life. And at times you may feel cast down in your spirits and wonder, even as David says elsewhere, if the Lord has forgotten to be gracious, and in anger He has shut up His tender mercies toward you. You can know this. You are surrounded on every side by the loving kindness of your good shepherd. But you see, He goes before you to guide you. And His goodness and mercy, they are never far behind you. And yes, you may experience, and you will experience, seasons of darkness in your life, when you are tempted to conclude, perhaps, that you are lost forever, maybe. But my dear friend, do you not understand? You can never be lost forever. For the Lord has loved you with an everlasting love, and so He will be your God forever. And He will never let you go, no matter how far you may stray from Him. Because you see, having begun a good work in you, He will see it through until the end. And how that ought to make us love Him all the more and be more careful to walk in a manner that pleases Him. Reminds me of a man called Robert Robinson. He'd been saved out of a life of sin through the ministry of the great evangelist George Whitefield in England. Well, shortly after his conversion at the age of 23, Robinson wrote the well-known hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," in which he speaks of streams of mercy never ceasing. But sadly, Robinson himself wandered far from those streams of mercy. And like the prodigal son, he journeyed into a life of carnality. Well, one day he was traveling by stagecoach. He found himself sitting beside a young woman who was engrossed in her book. I know all about that. And she ran across a verse that she thought was beautiful. And she asked him what he thought of it. And it read, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." When he heard those words, he burst into tears. He said to her, "Madam, I am the poor unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I could but enjoy the feelings that I knew then." And that young woman was greatly surprised when she discovered that. But she went on to reassure him that the streams of mercy he mentioned in his song, she said, they still flow. And Robinson was deeply touched by her words. And he turned his wandering heart back to the Lord once again, and he was restored to a life of fellowship and communion with God once again. And he went on to write a number of other beautiful hymns. Because you see, the love of God is a love that will not let his people go, ever. And even though so often, just like sheep, they may wander from the shepherd and leave the paths of righteousness that he has charted out for them. Yet that's what's so amazing. He continues to pursue them and follow them until he restores them to the fold. Until at last he will finally carry them over the threshold of death itself and into his immediate presence in glory, where they shall dwell with him forever. In the house of the Lord. And that brings us then to consider, in the second place, the glorious destination beyond this life. Our good shepherd, our guiding shepherd, is leading the sheep to, and these two constant companions will surely bring them to. Our child of God, if the Lord is our shepherd, as was so wonderful, not only do we have goodness and mercy behind us, we have the Father's house before us. And so, like David, our greatest desire ought not to be simply to be the beneficiaries of divine favor in this life, as wonderful as that is, but to be able to dwell in the presence of our good shepherd forever in the Father's house. You see, the longing of the Christian's heart is, it ought to be, to finally see their Savior face to face in that place that He is preparing for them, so that where He is, they may be also. For you see, it's there that He will feed them and lead them in the fountains of living water forevermore. What a glorious prospect awaits the child of God then, when their sojourn in this world is finally over. And they ought to have the same confidence that David expresses here then, that they will yet take their place in the mansions of God above. For you see, their guiding shepherd, who has shown himself so faithful to them in their wilderness journey here, He will remain faithful to them as their God and guide, even unto death. And He will bring them safely through death and into their eternal home to dwell with Him forever. See, that is what David is speaking about here. House of the Lord, it's not a reference to the temple in Jerusalem or the desire of the psalmist even to build such a temple, to worship in all his life, as some commentators suggest. Or to begin with, the temple in Jerusalem wasn't even built when the time that this psalm was written. And even if it had, the temple was only to be a passing shadow that anticipated something much greater. Remember when John saw into heaven in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22? Remember what he said? He said, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." Because you see, heaven itself is the true house or dwelling place of the Lord. And it is a place that is filled with the glory of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it is in heaven then that God will dwell with His people forever. And they will dwell with Him forever. And that is the hope, that is the expectation that David is speaking about in this verse. For you see, having been a shepherd, David knew all about the nomadic life of the shepherd and his sheep. Shepherds were constantly on the move their whole lives, regularly pitching their tent and moving their tent on as they led their sheep forward to fresh grazing pasture and places to drink. And so David is looking at his life here as a pilgrimage, a journey. But it's a journey ever onward to his true and abiding home with his God. Because David's ultimate hope is the prospect of finally entering into that rest that remains for all of the people of God when they cross over the bridge of death that will usher them into the heavenly sanctuary above, where God dwells and where they too shall dwell. And what David is looking forward to then is a place from which he will never be asked to move again. A place where he will finally be able to settle down, to dwell at peace and at rest, where all of his enemies will be shut out. And he will have said goodbye forever to all of the dark valleys and the difficult days that he had to pass through in this veil of tears. For you see, then grace will have given way to glory, and the day will finally have dawned in his experience, when the shadows will all have passed away and he will bask in the eternal sunshine of the glory of the presence of the Lord forever. For child of God, there will be no night in heaven, nor will we have need of a lamp, nor the light of the sun to guide us. For the Lord God Himself will be our everlasting light. And the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, He will shepherd us and lead us to living fountains of water. And we shall reign with Him in heaven forever and ever. And child of God, get a hold of that. For that is your sure hope, and that is my sure hope. Because that is the glorious destination that awaits all of the people of God when this life is finally over. You see, the promise of our guiding shepherd that he sets before us in this verse is that he will be with his people here. But the prospect he sets before them in this verse is that they will be with him there. For the glory of the gospel is that our good shepherd came from heaven to earth to purchase a people for himself. But my friend, the hope of the gospel is that he will yet bring his people from earth to heaven, where they will dwell with him forever. But you see, just as he's gone ahead of them to prepare a place for them in heaven, as we read earlier in John chapter 14. So he assures his people, he will come again to receive them to himself, that where he is, there they may be also. Makes me think of the little drummer boy during the American Civil War. He was injured in a battle. He was carried to the hospital where one of the soldiers who had accompanied him heard the doctor attending him say that his case was fatal. He would never recover. And immediately that soldier accompanied him. He said, "Doctor, if that is true, then I must send word to his mother. I promised to look after her boy." And so he sent a letter away to his mother. And as soon as possible, she came. But the doctor met her at the hospital to say she couldn't see her boy, for he'd fallen into a stupor, and if he was aroused, he would die of a paroxysm of pain, because at this stage he was altogether beyond hope. But after much pleading with the doctor, as you can expect, having a mother's heart, she said, "Doctor, if you will but permit me to go in, I will not speak to him, but I should like to sit by his side as he dies." And so permission was granted to her, and she took her place by his side. And she kept her word, and she said nothing to her child. When she saw by the expression of his face that he was suffering, she leaned over and she put her hand upon his brow. And her dying son, he didn't open his eyes, but he clearly felt her hand on the brow of his forehead, for she noticed his lips begin to move, and bending over, she heard him saying over and over, "I knew you would come. I knew you would come. I knew you would come." And you see, the same will be true for every child of God who has put their trust in the Good Shepherd. When the time comes for you and I to draw our last breath in this world, to pass from this scene of time, to enter the eternal world, we can rest assured the Lord Jesus will come to us, and he will come for us. And his goodness and his mercy, they'll be right there behind us to usher us into the celestial city above, where we will enter into the joy of the Lord and take our place among the spirits of just men and women made perfect. And there we will be able, oh, child of God, are you looking forward to that day when you will be able to look back in all the way that the Good Shepherd has led you, guided you, and to finally be able to say, "He did everything well." For child of God, here you and I may see but in a mirror dimly. And then we shall see face to face. And here you and I may know but in part. But then we shall know as we also are known. For faith, you see, will finally have given way to sight. And all of the strange enigmas that have darkened our days, all of the questions that may have so often filled our minds and our hearts at times, they'll all be perfectly answered by God. And we will join then with the church triumphant, as the hymn writer says, in blessing the hand that guided, and in blessing the heart that planned. When we are finally enthroned, where glory dwells in Emmanuel's land. Oh, heaven is the glorious destination of all those who belong to the Good Shepherd. This world is not our true home. We are merely pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. But you see, that fact should be shaping our perspective on life in the present. should be a reminder to us that whatever we may be experiencing in the present, whatever we may experience in the future, however dark, however difficult, it's not the final chapter in your life or mine. And it's not the end of our story. Because, my friend, if we're in Christ and we're being led and guided by the Good Shepherd, then the best is yet to come. You see, a glorious homecoming awaits us when we will step across the threshold between earth and heaven. And the Lord Jesus Himself will be waiting with arms wide open to embrace us in the arms of His love and to say, "My son, my daughter, welcome home." Well, child of God, keep that ever in mind when you find yourself struggling perhaps at times. And let the joy set before you in this concluding verse, Psalm 23, let it strengthen your heart. Let it give you courage to press on, to press through the difficulties you meet with here. For always remember, each day is a march, a day's march nearer home. Well, I'd like to conclude this series of sermons from Psalm 23 by relating the story of a shepherd who was caught in a blizzard, which hit the Rockies during the winter of 1912. And he desperately tried to herd his sheep into a hollow space close together so that they could keep warm. For you see, he knew that the thick snow would provide a protective covering for his sheep, saving them from the bitter wind. The warmth, warm breath from the sheep would melt the snow near their faces so that they would be able to breathe. But instead of listening to their shepherd, the sheep bolted after the lead sheep and ran into a thick snowdrift where they perished. And that despondent, half-frozen shepherd, he showed up at a house nearby, seeking refuge from that storm. And he was welcomed in, and he told the family who lived there what had just happened. The two young children in the home, they listen intently as this unexpected visitor spoke. Well, shortly afterward, while they were discussing it all with their mother, she quoted Psalm 23, explaining that the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, He cares for us. Though all like sheep, we have gone astray, as Isaiah says. And she said, some people are stubborn and refuse to follow Christ, and they are lost forever. But Jesus came to lead His sheep, those who put their trust in Him, to eternal safety. And as she used that story to explain the gospel, her words, they spoke to her two children. And that day they both put their trust in the Lord Jesus. They chose to follow Him as their good shepherd, to submit to His guidance and direction in life. And the question then for all of us, in closing, as we finish our studies in this beautiful psalm, have we submitted our lives to the good shepherd that we have been hearing about in these last weeks? Can we say that He is our guiding shepherd? As we often hear it said, it's not what you know in life, but who you know that counts. And it's not enough merely to know about the good shepherd. We need to know the good shepherd is our shepherd. For you see, when all is finally said and done, it is that will determine whether goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and whether or not we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, may that be true of all of us here. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, our wonderful and our amazing Good Shepherd, we come to you as we come to the end of our study in this, your psalm, psalm that speaks so beautifully of your love and your care for your sheep, a love that will never let them go. And we do thank and praise your name for all that you have done for us in the past, even before ever we were converted and drawn to yourself, yet we can look back and see your hand in so many ways in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been so faithful to us. We thank you for your love that knows no bounds. And we pray, Lord, that we would live for you and that we would love you and serve you and devote our lives, what remains of them, in your service, that we would give our best to you, that we wouldn't be giving you the dregs of our lives. But we pray, Lord, that we would love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bear with us, to cause your goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our life. And we thank you for the promise that you've given us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will indeed be our God and our guide, even unto death. And we pray then, Lord, that our eyes would be ever toward you. Whatever we meet with in life, we know that there are times when we are called to go through dark and difficult valleys, to meet with things that are not pleasant to the flesh, that trouble us in our souls and cause us at times even to wonder where you are. And yet, Lord, we pray that we would see beyond these things, that we would take your word as it stands, that we would believe that your word is truth, that we can depend upon it. And we pray, Lord, that we would be looking to you then in this new week that has begun, that we would be cleaving to you. And we pray that you would enable us to remain faithful to us, to you. And we pray, Lord, that we would look to you then, that we would commit our way to you, that we would keep our eyes fixed upon you, that you would be able to lead us and guide us in the way everlasting. Be with us then. We commit our way to you. We pray for your blessing on this day and as we come out again, some of us at least, in this afternoon hour. Bless us and be with us and keep us in all things, we pray. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.